time to get out your outlines and open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 9. I don't think you'll be real familiar with this story. Not a lot of preaching goes on in this particular area, but I think you'll find it fascinating. Let me start by saying this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we are told, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Now, this piece of information, from God is no small matter. And this truth leads us to more truths and further understandings and more obligations than just what it includes just there at face value. If this verse is true, which it certainly is, then what are its implications on us? Here are just a few quick ones. The first implication, God powers people with abilities. God powers each of his people with some type of ability. Another implication is this. Every believer, every single believer, gets a God-powered ability. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior gets a God-powered ability. Also as true as this. That God-powered ability is to be used to help or advance God's church and God's agenda. Another implication. Each of us must receive our orders from God as to what our mission is, or we'll call it our calling. Okay, what God's calling us to do. God's calling can be very varied. Right after verse 7 in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives some examples of some God-powered abilities that we call spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. That's a God-powered ability. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to one another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. Paul goes on to mention there is the power to perform miracles. There is the ability to prophesy, the ability to discern, the ability to speak in a different language other than when you speak, and the list goes on. Well, tonight, I say all this because in our study of 2 Kings, we will meet a man named Jehu. Jehu will receive a calling by God. And by examining this calling that God tells him to do, we will be able to glean a better understanding of our partnership of working with God. So I want to read these 13 verses in chapter 9, and then we'll unpack this story. Meanwhile, Elisha the prophet had summoned a member of the group of prophets. Get ready to travel, he told him, and take this flask of oil with you. Go to Ramoth-Gilead and find Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. Call him into a private room away from his friends and pour the oil over his head. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. I anoint you, Jehu, to be the king over Israel. Then open the door and run for your life. So the young prophet did as he was told and went to Ramoth-Gilead. Now when he arrived there, he found Jehu sitting around with the other army officers. I have a message for you, commander, he said. For which one of us? Jehu asked. For you, commander, he replied. So Jehu left the others and went into the house, and then the young prophet poured the oil over Jehu's head and said, this is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people Israel. You are to destroy the family of Ahab, your master. In this way, I will avenge the murder of my prophets and all the Lord's servants who were killed by Jezebel, the entire family of Ahab must be wiped out. I will destroy every one of his male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I will destroy the family of Ahab as I destroyed the families of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and of Baasha, son of Ahijah. Dogs will eat Ahab's wife Jezebel at the plot of land in Jezreel, and no one will bury her. Then the young prophet opened the door and ran. Jehu went back to his fellow officers, and one of them asked him, "What did that madman want? Is everything all right?" "Oh, you know how a man like that babbles on," Jehu replied. "You're hiding something," they said. "Tell us." So Jehu told them. He said to me, "This is what the Lord says. I have anointed you to be the king over Israel." Then they quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare steps and blew the ram's horn, shouting, "Jehu is king." Wow. What a calling. Jehu is called by God to be the new king of Israel. He will be the king over Israel, and he's also going to be the king over Judah. Remember, the kingdom was divided into two kingdoms. Now, not only will Jehu reign over Israel, Jehu has been called, given the job, to remove Ahab and Jezebel's family dynasty. They were the king and queen of Israel. They were evil. He is to avenge the atrocities of Israel's evil king. And then Jehu must root out all of the idol worship in Israel. Wow. Congratulations, you've been promoted. Whoa. Actually, gang, this is great. Finally, Israel is going to get its act together and follow God. Finally, justice will come against this wicked family. And finally, this horrendous sexual cult of Baal worship will be eradicated among God's people. There's only one problem. Jehu had no idea this was his calling. This was all a surprise on him, a surprise from God. An underling prophet shows up, drops this bomb on Jehu, and then the prophet runs away like a crazy man. Jehu is left with this enormous calling, no plan on how to accomplish it, and very little resources. Okay, gang, let's do some gleaning. Point one, getting caught off guard by God is customary. Jehu was going about his job, leading his small band of soldiers, not looking for anything other than what he was doing, and then from out of nowhere comes God. And God tells Jehu, "I'm making you the king over Israel. Oh, and I have a virtually impossible job for you to accomplish." Talk about getting blindsided. Gang, that's God. And he has been doing that, blindsiding people and calling them to ridiculous jobs for centuries. Don't be surprised when God taps you on the shoulder like he did to each of the people in our drama. The fact is, God calls us to do something when we are not looking for it. We've seen it over and over. We've seen it here at Westbridge. God knew that we needed a leader for our drama team. So he blindsided Miss Lori, tapped her on the shoulder, and said, "I want you to lead." We needed a leader for our tech team. So God sent a messenger to Mr. Derek, and he was anointed. God needed a leader for our dance team, so he brought us Miss Becky. None of these people were looking for it, but God was looking for them. This goes hand in hand with our second observation that we will glean about Jehu tonight, and the second point is this. he was given a clear mandate. That is a clear set of marching orders, okay? Number one, Jehu was to be the king over Israel and Judah. Number two, he was to remove Ahab's family completely. And number three, he was to rid Israel of Baal worship. Gang, our God is not a God of confusion. When he tells you what to do, you know loud and clear what you are supposed to do. Abram was told, leave your country and go to where I show you. Daniel was told, don't bow to idols. Jonah was told, go to Nineveh. God gives clear instructions. It may be help feed that family. It may be invite that person to church. It may be invite that person to your house for a holiday. It may be honor God in your tithing. It may be address that issue that you have going on inside of you with rage or with gossip or with pride or even indifference towards others. You see, the sticking point, gang, on getting a clear mandate from God is that a lot of us, we don't want to hear what the mandate is. We like the part that says we're going to be anointed king. We like that part, but we don't want the mandate part that says you have a very difficult job to do leading up to that. God is not going to make you the CEO of a company if you are apathetic towards your education and your work habits. God has included massive amounts of preparation in one's calling. God is not going to call you to lead others if you're not leading yourself. God says if a person can't run their household, well then how are they going to be called to run God's household? The mandate of counseling others will come after you've been successful in the mandate of counseling yourself. John Maxwell said it best. After speaking to a crowd of tens of thousands of people, he stepped down from the lectern, and a young man came up to him, and he said to him, I know what my calling is, Mr. Maxwell. I want to do what you do. I want to speak to large crowds. And John Maxwell said to him, you want to do what I do, but do you want to do what I've done? John Maxwell was talking about the decades of faithful pastoral work that he had put in tiny churches in Ohio, speaking to crowds of less than 25 people, and doing that mandate diligently. He was faithful in the little things so God could bring him a larger mandate. Remember what we read before, 1 Corinthians 12:7. It told us, a spiritual gift, a spiritual ability, a God-powered ability has been given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. You have your spiritual gift right now. What are the duties, the opportunities, the responsibilities that God has called you to today? Because being diligent in those are the key for God's grander tapping on the shoulder. Jehu had become a respected and well-trained commander in Israel's army. And God tapped Jehu on the shoulder and informed him that he had a job to do. And God told him exactly what that job was. That leads us to point three. Point three is this. Jehu was in over his head. If you're thinking that Jehu had the entire Israelite army at his disposal, he did not. He did not. He only had himself and his platoon. He also, he had no strategy for pulling off this gigantic coup. And he had nothing put in place for a coup. He was in way over his head, and that, gang, is exactly where God loves us to be. He loves it when we don't have the provision, when we don't have the power, and we don't have the possessions to do what he asks. That is because when we are weak, he is strong. God will blindside us with a job to do. And he will make it clear what he wants us to do, and most likely, you will not feel ready. You will not feel able, and you will not feel willing to do the job. Well, welcome to followership. How many arks did Noah build before the big one? None. How much juice did Moses have to twist Pharaoh's arm and to let all of his slave labor go free? None. How many 9.5-foot giants had David brought down with a crummy slingshot? None. You see, here's another truth. When God asks you to do something, it's usually not anything that you can do without God's help. God may tap you on the shoulder this next week or this next year. Maybe you are the one God will use to invite that person to church who needs to find help desperately. Maybe you're the one God will call to show a couple how to be married. Or maybe you're the one that God is going to call to show a couple how to raise children. Maybe God will call on you to show love to that person at work, to show love at school. God could drop a baby on your front porch in a basket, or he could ask you to start your own business. Building arks, rescuing those in bondage, slaying giants, it doesn't matter. Just callings. It has been very rewarding watching the young people here at Westbridge in our fuel group. It has been very rewarding watching them grow and watching them develop into Jehus. First, as leaders in training, we watch as we give them small opportunity. We watch to see if they're faithful in what we're asking them to do. We watch to see if they're diligent with the jobs we've given them. Then, watching them advance to full-blown youth leader and watching how they guard their hearts and watching how they grow their character and their integrity. We then watch them leave the nest. We watch them head into new adventures that God has for them. But what makes it so exciting is spotting the young ones, the up-and-coming ones, the ones who are emerging as the next group that God is developing and calling out to be the new Jehus. It's one of the primary reasons Westbridge was started. One of my missions when we started Westbridge was that along with everyone discovering their spiritual gift and using their and advancing God's kingdom with it, was to uncover and to develop and birth pastors. That was one of my goals right from the start. I want to raise up pastors. That's important to me. I wanted to give people opportunity and provide every kind of training that we could to develop people with a gift of shepherding and teaching and then send them out into the world. The very first person I spotted was Scott McCray. Scott and I had gone to church together at Grace Church on the Mountain, Netcong, from 1996 to 2000, where I was an elder, and I led the service programming team designing the Sunday morning services. I was at Scott's house October 19th, 2002, the day we launched Westbridge Community Church. And Scott and Ryan came out to meet me, and they informed me that they were coming to help that day. Well, they've been helping for 12 years now. And over that 12-year stretch, Scott has grown. We have talked a lot over the past 12 years. We have gone on trips to Denver and to Colorado Springs together, to Georgia. And I made it clear as we talked that I believed that one day he would head into a professional ministry position. I believed that. Well, not long ago, he told me that he had been approached about a position, but he did not feel that's what God wanted him. It was not his calling. Him and Ryan agreed. That was not what he should do. And then recently, Scott found a calling that he and Ryan felt was the right job for them. And it's at our old church, Grace, the one who gave us our trailer. Now, Ryan has been there for a while, working on their staff there, and it's really cool that now Scott will be joining their staff as well. Now, I have always worried about my friend Scott getting older and climbing ladders and doing dangerous work, and so I am very, very pleased that God is tapping him on the shoulder with this professional calling. This is something I have looked forward to from our inception, but saying goodbye is never easy. So please, when you see them tonight, love on them and let them know how much you will be praying for them. Okay? And they wanted me to let you know this tonight. Jesus said, "The fields are ready, but the workers are few." And we are doing our part. The Westbridge, Little Westbridge Community Church is doing our part, sending out workers. So, in closing, as we finish this first section, because we will be looking at Jehu for the next 3 weeks, we're going to take it in pieces as he does try to complete each of the part of his calling. But in closing, Jehu has a job to do. We'll look at that. But for now, our gleanings, our remembrances for tonight. A spiritual gift has been given to each and every one who accepts Jesus as their Savior. A spiritual gift has been given to every one of those folks as a means of helping the entire church, the entire, every church that there is. Next piece. Getting caught off guard by God is customary. Don't let that surprise you. Also, God will give you a clear mandate. You will probably feel like you're in over your head. That's normal. But when God asks you to do something, it's usually not anything that you can do without his help. I've asked the band to prepare one last song, and it's a new song. And I want you to think, as we play through it and you worship along with us, what is God possibly calling you to do? What is God saying as he taps your shoulder, "I need you to do this"? It may be something very grand. It may be as simple as loving on someone. But God's callings don't stop. They keep coming at us. Think about that as we worship our Savior. Lord, you do call us out upon the waters. When they're rough and we think we can't possibly do what you've called us to do, but then you somehow, through your power and your strength, you give us the ability to succeed. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to let us have faith that is without borders, and that we would trust you no matter what you called us to do, whether it's something uncomfortable, something that we would not have chosen. Help us have the faith to know that you want the best for us and you also want the best for your kingdom. Lord, let us, as we continue to study Jehu, let us be people who follow like he did, who do what you've called us to do, no matter what it is, and that we give you the glory for the impossible happening. So send the ridiculous and let us have foolish, crazy faith to follow and do what you've called us to do. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.